Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing very good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about what they call thinking and thinking right in relation to right mental activity as opposed to human conjecture. In this show, we will be discussing concepts like thinking, believing, feeling, and knowing measured against the backdrop of truth. Listen as Swami explains, when truth is known and applied, it destroys the false belief in anything may be believed, but only truth is a demonstrable principle because it is backed by divine mind. Perfect love is the infinite divine intelligence, and fear is ignorance of this truth. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience the divine creative principle. Swami, I see the title of today's show is Only Truth Can Be Known. What can you tell us about that title?
Yeah, the title came from the work that was done by Hermann Hering, who was a Christian Science teacher and practitioner. And I'll read a little bit of what he says here because it will give you an understanding of why I decided to use this title. And he writes, "Since the body is an externalization of consciousness, the condition of its externalization will also be changed if we change the consciousness. How is this done? In answer, we would say that since Christian Science healing is wholly mental, it must be accomplished through the activity of the truth in human thought. And in this connection, it is well to consider what thinking is, in order that we may think aright, may engage in right mental action. A wrong belief cannot be corrected with a wrong thought. Thinking is the exercise of intelligence or mind. Therefore, real thinking is the activity of real mind. Real mind is the divine consciousness, the infinite intelligence, truth. Real thinking is thus the activity of the divine mind or truth. The activity of truth in consciousness is the knowing of truth. Therefore, real thinking is right knowing. We can know only the truth, never error. We can never know that 2 times 2 make 5, because they do not. We can only believe it. We can never know sin, disease, and death, or anything that is wrong, evil, or material. We can only believe it." That's what he wrote, and I really wanted to drill down with that because I found it to be very helpful in supporting everything that we're trying to learn in divine science, which is basically how to put off the old man, how to put off the belief in matter.
Well, can we go back to what he first said, that very first sentence when you said, "Since Christian Science healing is wholly mental, it must be accomplished through the activity of the truth in human thought." I just want to make that distinction because we have talked about other healings or other healers, and they think they're doing spiritual healing, but it's actually mental healing. So can we just kind of discern the difference here?
Yeah, I really think what we're talking about here is the difference between thinking with mortal mind, which is getting all of its information from the testimony of our corporeal senses, which abides mostly in duality, the false imitation creation, and divine mind. Divine mind sees everything in its entirety. It is the absolute. It deals in relation to the whole. There's a very big difference, like you say, between what we call mental and what Christian Science is calling mental. Because in truth, everything is spirit. The more we get out of the human concept about that truth, then the closer we get to the truth itself.
So there's another sentence in here. A wrong belief cannot be corrected with a wrong thought. I'm hoping that maybe you can give me an example as to what that looks like when we as humans do that.
Yeah, we did that show and we talked about, can a mind free itself from its own creation? Thinking is a mental activity when it is done forming thoughts and opinions based on information coming from the corporeal senses, sense-level living. Everything that we're trying to do and learn here is how to live before thought and above corporeal sense, because that's where the invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence resides.
He says we may think aright, may engage in right mental action. So how do we know when we're thinking with our mortal human mind as opposed to this divine mind that he speaks of?
Yeah, where he says here, the activity of truth in consciousness is knowing of truth. Because consciousness is experience. What we know is what we experience. That if you are conscious of the divine creation, then what is appearing in your corporeal senses must have those divine qualities. And so you use what is appearing in your senses to give you an understanding of, what am I conscious of? If you're conscious of truth, then that truth must correct your thought and externalize as a divine image.
So it's only when we know this truth with a capital T, then that's when we will never know the sin, disease, and death or anything that is wrong, evil, or material. We can only believe it.
Yeah, for me, that's the beauty of divine science. That it really is a demonstrable principle. We get out of this whole superstition in believing in a God. If you know the truth, just like light dispels darkness, truth must dispel the error, the false sense of existence. And if what it is that you're calling truth doesn't yield that return, then chances are that you have to go back to the drawing board because you're not thinking right. And the best thing that we can do is start to prove the presence of this divine creative principle by knowing it. Just like he says, the activity of truth in consciousness is the knowing of truth. It's the activity of truth which should dispel the error. That's the activity of truth. It's just like light. When you turn on a light, it illumines the room. Now, when you leave the room and you shut off the light, there's not an opposing force that comes in and fills the room with this black ink mist. What actually happens is darkness is the absence of light. Ignorance or sin, disease, death, suffering, sickness is the absence of this truth.
So what's very interesting to me is this fine line, it seems like, between these concepts of like this thinking, believing, and knowing. Where's the jumping off point here? Where do we start?
Well, for me, I really think, why reinvent the wheel? In the Bible, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Seeking the truth, what is the kingdom of heaven? Knowing beyond corporeal sense living, there is a larger sense of life. Beyond the swirling variations of our five corporeal senses is this changeless state of being, the invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence. The divine creation is done. It's right here. It's right now. We must be conscious of it. And in order for us to be conscious of it, we must be out of the awareness of what is interfering with that, which is our five corporeal senses.
So we have to stop believing in these errors, stop believing in sin, disease, death, anything that can be considered as a discord.
The way we do it is we stop reacting to it, but at the same time, Mary Baker Eddy said, "For Jesus to walk on water was science, but before poor humanity walks on water, don't step out onto the Atlantic." We really want to make sure we are demonstrating truth. And so you work with it. You start with concepts, just like what we did with "we believe in God." We found that that doesn't go far enough. And so next thing is this whole concept of faith. Faith is where your belief in God starts to prove its presence. You start to see the fruits of your faith. Again, these signals, sin, disease, suffering, lack, limitation, are all indicators I'm ignorant of the presence of the divine creation. Rather than me trying to find the divine creation, what we're learning is I have to give up the belief that I'm not living in and under the protection and guidance of the perfection of being.
Well, I think this is a good place to talk about a verse that we have from the book of John, and that would be 1:3-5. Do you want to recite that for our listeners?
Yeah, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, this is what we were talking about. Darkness knows nothing about the divine creation, which means the mind that we have accepted that is working in duality, that is directly related to the testimony of our five corporeal senses, cannot bring forth the divine image. And we have to let go of our belief that it can. Once we are willing to let that go, then you're more receptive to the steps that you're going to have to take in order to get you to this place where the Bible says, "Know the truth and it will make you free." And it will make us free from the belief that we are a finite mortal being with an expiration date.
Well, I think we can further the explanation by talking about what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:6-8. "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord." Can you give us your thoughts about that?
We've been saying since the inception of Institute for Personal Development, how we think is what we become. So if we think with a finite mortal mind, we become a finite mortal being. But if we think right with the divine eternal mind, we become a divine eternal being. Paul's just laying that right out for us there. While we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Even physics tells us like attracts like, and two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. And so, with regard to the physics of spirituality, unless we give up the belief in matter, lest we shift our identity from physical and mental to spiritual, we're going to continue to be in this false sense of existence, this human recreation about the divine creation, which is right here, right now, perfect, and doesn't need anything but our recognition of it.
Well, we are going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga.
It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information. Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, before the pause, you had mentioned the phrase, the physics of spirituality, and we have a passage from Herb Fitch, Fourth Dimension, 13, Side A, that I think really supports what you were just talking about.
Yeah, the physics says like attracts like, and two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. And I'll read it. I cannot recognize two selves. Christ is not mortal. I cannot accept Christ and mortality in the same breath. I cannot be the light and also be the human darkness. The only self that I can recognize is the only self there is, the self of God. Nobody's ever going to bury that self. Nobody's ever going to hurt it or harm it. No one is ever going to make it lacking or limited. No one is going to ever give it arthritis or pain in any part of the body. The only self there is the self of God, and I must claim that now, and I must be willing to accept the responsibility of turning from all that disclaims the truth of my being, for you know that no untruth can ever really happen. There is no possibility for untruth to happen. I must learn that whatever is untrue has no way to happen because God is the only self, and God is never untrue. Whatever is untrue is just another way of the world mind denying the allness of the selfhood of God. But that is my self. It is the self of everyone I know. There is no other self. And that self never lives in a human body. It never has. It never will. That self is immortal forever. It is the only self there is. And regardless of what concepts men have formed about that self, they are still no more than concepts. I will not live in a concept. My day is to be one with the reality of being, rising above the belief in concept, here, there, and everywhere, for that which is not the one self is not here. That's the end of it. Boy, I really like the way that he supports what Hermann Hering said and the title of our show. We can only know truth. We can believe anything that we want.
Swami, let's look at this on a collective basis, and let's just take a look at what we're seeing commercials on TV, for example.
Yeah, I think what you're driving at here is that commercial we saw on pride. To be proud of gender or sexual preference is 180 degrees from the message of Scripture, which is telling us there is no physical reality, only spirit is, going back to what Paul said. And to sow to the spirit is eternal life, but to sow to flesh is death. Here we are collectively admitting that we sow to the flesh, and also we're proud of that. It's so far from the truth of being. Pride is one of the deadly sins, but what does this really mean? Because sin is missing the mark, and truth corrects sin only by hitting the mark. Like the principles of mathematics will correct your checkbook, truth will correct the false belief in mortal sense. Human beliefs, at best, are a temporary sense of success. And truth is permanent success because it has the power of the creative principle. I really like what C.S. Lewis said once. If you miss your turn to continue driving in the direction you are going, you may not be getting closer to your destination. And I really think humanity has to take a good look at where we're going, that we actually believe that we are present in the body. And so as a result, we're wondering why we're having all of these problems.
I know we've been talking about spiritual identity. It seems like we as humans always have to identify with something. So we're going to identify with our sexual preferences, or we're going to identify with our cultural history. And I think that's where we're missing the mark, is we don't need a collective group of people to be associated with. We just need that one divine principle we need to think about identifying with and connecting with.
Yeah, and even that word need is a very important thing to start to drill down with, because as a human, we have needs. But in spiritual identity, there are no needs. Needs is what amps everything up to this life-death importance. And humanity continues to try and figure out how the unreal became real, instead of realizing the truth that makes us free from all of these false beliefs.
Well, what's interesting is when you are talking about sin is missing the mark, and truth corrects sin only by hitting the mark. So let's talk more about that line right there. How do we hit the mark?
By knowing the truth, by knowing that there is but one life, the divine creation, and stop thinking. Thinking is forming thoughts and opinions based on information that's coming in through our five corporeal senses. If we continue to perpetuate the belief that we are finite and mortal, then we're in this cycle of death and rebirth. But by stopping thinking and knowing the truth, making your mind aware for the presence of the divine creation without trying, striving, struggling, or planning, just resting and waiting for this spiritual light to dawn on your consciousness. In that eternal spiritual unity, there is no opposition. There's no beginning, there's no ending. You are now an eternal spiritual being. When consciousness is in constant relation with that divine idea, that will correct your thought and then externalize and change what is appearing in your experiences, because consciousness is experience.
And even going back to what you said from Herb Fitch, the only self there is the self of God, and I must claim that now, and I must be willing to accept the responsibility of turning from all that disclaims the truth of my being. So therefore, he calls it right out on the carpet right here when we're talking about we have this need to identify ourselves.
Right, and just like Paul said, while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Of course, I really like where he says, we walk by faith, not by sight. We graduate from living out from our five corporeal senses, and now we're living out from our seven spiritual senses, which is conscious of the divine creation. And we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. This spiritual identity that you assume is not abstaining from the instincts and appetites of a physical body. It really is indulging in a larger sense of life that is way beyond what it is that we can even imagine on a corporeal sense level.
I'd like to get your thoughts about the other day we were talking to a friend of ours, and he was telling us about his experience with these virtual reality goggles, explaining to us that he could make all these worlds and visit these worlds. And I couldn't help but thinking to myself, why do we need these virtual reality goggles to make our own worlds when that's what we do in our waking state? We are actually creating our own virtual reality. We don't need these goggles.
Well, I think one benefit from virtual reality is that it's an interesting concept to give humanity an allegory for the relationship between false sense and true being. Yeah, because when you take off your goggles and you're now back at your sense level of living, there's a change, but it's more of a lateral movement here because you went from living out from a reality that is based on two senses back to a reality that is based on five senses. And for us, we think the five sense reality is real. But when we take off the false belief in matter or material reality, we then reside in the clarity of pure spiritual perfection. Now, for me, that's a vertical leap. That's an upgrade because we're living in a thought loop, a recreation of the divine creation with lack, limitation, suffering, sin, sickness, and we believe it's real. Why? Because we don't know better. For me, religion has failed humanity with its belief system. Truth doesn't need belief because truth is self-existent life, love, harmony. Know the truth and it will make you free. Free from the false belief of the entire human experience with all its imperfections and problems.
Well, I think we might have some people listening that might think, well, all the good, beautiful things that happen in the world are given by God, and all the bad things that happen to us are punishments from God. How would you answer that?
Well, again, I think that's exactly where Orthodox religion left us off. Now, again, you can either believe in that, you can believe in two powers and continue to perpetuate what has been going on for thousands of years since the ascension of Jesus anyway, and humanity hasn't really gone anywhere with these beliefs, these man-made doctrines we have been following religiously and with the best of intention because they don't work. And so the Bible told us to repent, which meant think differently. And the best thing about this is that it's no longer relying on belief. If you accept it and you try it, stop thinking, start knowing. If you forsake all of these modes of human thinking, all of these human concepts and beliefs, and you start to employ this, you can demonstrate it. That's the beauty of what Paul told us. We walk by faith, not by sight. And I love what James said. Something like faith without works is dead. We really want to start to activate the truth in our experiences. The message of the Christ is heal the sick, reform sinner, raise the dead. This wasn't something that was unique to Jesus, but the Christ is an eternal principle. It is the saving aspect of truth. It's what makes truth intelligible to the human consciousness.
Well, great. Thank you. So we do need to start breaking down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. On the homepage, when you see the fading banner, Blog Talk Radio, if you click that, that directs you to the Blog Talk Radio show catalog page. And then don't forget, by clicking on the products tab and online classes, directs you to all the classes that Swami has available for you. So Swami, with that, do you have any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience the divine creative principle. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.